the hospitality time snack that is provided for next Sunday. So if that's something you want to provide, do that. And also our altar flowers, we still need folks to sign up for that or for the next this month and next month. With that, let us prepare for worship.
Morning. If you would, please stand and join me in the call to worship. Come to the waters.
We gather at the river.
Come to the waters.
The waters of grace flow over us.
Come to the waters.
We are washed in God's love.
Come to the waters. And now let us sing our praise to the Lord with the opening hymn, O Worship the King. We will sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 5. You can find that in your hymnal in number 73 or on the screen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Now join me in the opening prayer found in your bulletins. God of strength, God of love, surround us with your love. Gather us in as your beloved children. Open our ears to hear your voice. Open our hearts to the power of your transforming love. May your waters of grace pour over us, renewing us for your work in the world. Bless us in this holy time. Amen. And now I invite the children to come up and join me. Today. Good. All right. So I have a picture I want to show you. Picture and words. Do you know what those are?
Tacos.
Tacos.
Have you ever had tacos? You like burritos better. I like enchiladas and quesadillas, but I like tacos. What? Enchiladas are the best. What kind do you like? What do you like in it? Beans and rice. No, meat? And meat, yeah. Gotta have some meat. I like meat. Some people don't like meat. Anyways, what do you think tacos have to do with church?
It's a good question.
No idea. Nope. I had never heard of this until this week. I was listening to a podcast, and someone said, you could use tacos as a way to remember how to pray to God. You know, Pastor Jeff is going to talk a little bit later about baptism. And baptism is just basically, in a nutshell, us affirming our faith and belief in Jesus God. Sometimes it's done when we're little and we're not even aware of it. But it's still an affirmation of our parents' belief in that. And then sometimes it's done when we are older and we choose to be baptized. But one of the things as a believer is to pray. But sometimes we get kind of scared to pray. We're like, I don't really know how to pray. Do you know how to pray? Well, tacos is a way to remember how you can pray. Does that sound weird? Okay, so it's making us hungry. Tacos, if you remember, do you know how to spell tacos? S with an S on the end, if you're going to make it plural, right? Okay, so, and I have the words on here, and I'm going to give you each one of these sheets. But here's what it is. So, tacos. T is for Thanksgiving, to remind us to thank God. To thank him and show gratitude to him for the things that he does for us, for the things that he provides. We can thank him for his guidance. We can thank him for the food that we have, right? Things that are both for spiritually and physically for us. So thanking him, that's the first one. Then the A in tacos is for adoration. Remembering to praise God for who he is. In the song we just sang, the last like three words were like Redeemer, Savior, and Friend, something like that. Redeemer and Friend were in there for sure. So those are things that we can, that's part of his attributes, his character, that he's merciful or grace-filled. Can you think of any other words of affirmation of who God is? A leader, something else, Savior. I did, but that's okay. It's good that you remembered it, right? Yeah. Any other words you can think of? Friend. There's lots of different words that you can use for adoration for God. And another way that we show adoration for God is when we sing together, singing praise, that's showing adoration. So if you like to sing, even at home, you can sing songs of praise, and that's part of prayer. All right, what do you think C stands for? Any guesses? That's a good word. It's a big word to think of, confirmation. How about confession? Confess. I want to share with God maybe some things that I did that weren't so nice or that might have harmed somebody else or that were just selfish things. Can you think of something selfish that you might have done that you should tell God about? Admit to him about?
Took the last taco.
Took the last taco maybe when somebody else wanted it. Can you? It goes along with it, right? Can you think of something else? Yeah, maybe you didn't share with somebody when they asked for something. You kept it for yourself. Some things like that are things that we can confess to God and ask for forgiveness for. And he will always give us forgiveness when we ask. Okay, so we've got TAC done. Now we've got O. O stands for others. Let's pray for others, what they might need. Maybe, can you think of something somebody might need that they could use prayer for? Clothes. Food. Shelter.
Healing.
Lost ones. Yep. That's good. Yeah. They might not know God. So let's pray, that they'll know God. Maybe they need found. Good. All right. So those are some things we can ask for things, ask God to meet the needs for others. And what do you think the last one may be? The S. Self. Yes. So, we put God first. We heard that, right? In the thanksgiving and adoration to God. And then we confessed our sins or those things that we did that were selfish. Then we pray for others. Then we can pray for ourselves too. What might we pray for ourselves? That the day goes well. That you win your basketball game. Okay, so when we talk about winning basketball games and sports and things, sometimes it's about, hey, God, will you keep me from getting too anxious about this? Maybe just help me think more clearly. It may not be about winning and losing, but it may be about how can I be my best self during this game, right? Yeah. I'll use an example. We were watching the Ohio State football game the other night, and third quarter wasn't going so well. And I said to him, they just need to, it was the end of the third quarter, they just need to pray and regroup, take a breath, and then come back ready to for the fourth quarter, right? And they did. I don't know if they prayed, but they came back ready for the fourth quarter. So that's how I think of it when I think about praying for something I might need in sports. So, tacos, thanksgiving, adoration, confession, others, self. I'm going to add another S to the end of this. This is one you're not going to think of. Just silence. Just take that last few minutes of your prayer to just be real quiet and see if God says something back. And sometimes that's just as simple as a thought that crosses our mind or a word that comes to us or just knowing and sensing the peace that he gives us. A lot of times we forget this part, just to be silent and let God speak back to us. Okay, so we are going to do our coins for mission. And then you can come back up. I'll give you one of these, and I will give you, and we will have a prayer, okay? Let's have a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for who you are and all the things that you do for us, for giving us strength, for giving us courage, for helping us stay at peace when we need it. We lift you up in adoration and praise you for being a God who is a provider for all our needs. And we confess to you that sometimes we do things that aren't so nice to others and that are selfish. And we ask you for forgiveness for these things. And we pray for others, especially those who are in the greatest of need, the need to know you, the need to have the things like food and shelter, and just for all our well-being. And we pray for ourselves, Lord, that we would know you, love you, and always seek you first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let us sing our prayer hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God, number 420. And we're singing verses, it looks like 1-3.
Thank you.
Let us go into our time of prayer with understanding that God is our hope. Let us pray. Amazing and merciful God, compassionate one, God of love and mercy, God of power and strength. Lord, you are all these things. It is because of who you are is what we are able to look to understand where our hope lies. So we are grateful that you have made yourself known to us, that we have been awakened to your Spirit, that we can turn to you in all times. Lord, today we come with an understanding of there's things going on beyond ourselves. We look to the wildfires in California and understand the devastation. But being that we are here and that is there, we truly don't sense the breadth and depth of the devastation. So Lord, through you we can understand this. You can make our hearts cry to be able to be those that do come to you in prayer, to pray for those that are looking at what is to come, knowing that they have nothing of what they had in the past. Lord, we ask that you would give them hope. Give them a sense of security in you that they can find what is next for them. Lord, we ask that you would surround the community there with your brothers and sisters who call upon Jesus as their Savior, that they would come around this group showing this love that they may not know, to sense that hope. Lord, we also, as we think of them, we also do have things that are surrounding us here. There are those that have lost those that are close to them. And we just ask that you would be with them and their families and knowing that they are not alone. They can come together and find that support. Lord, there are other things that are occurring in each and one of our lives that we can all come to you. We can come to you with our sorrow, with our joy, with our understanding of what is lacking and what we have. You make it all clear to us, O God. You are the one that gives us the guidance through all these things. So we lean into you, opening our lives to you and all that you offer. Let us now share with one voice the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as those who have had their lives changed by their relationship with God, may we respond knowing that we are not only to keep what we've been given, but to return a portion as we are led. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Let us join together in the prayer of dedication. Loving God, you bless us with your love. You know each one of us. We live in confidence and trust, knowing your care for us. We bring these gifts to you, our source of life. Use them, we pray, that others may experience your grace and live free from fear. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel.
This morning we are reading from Luke 3, 15 through 17 and 21 through 22. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Carol. Well, I've shared before that I grew up going to Mary Help of Christians Catholic Church in Fairborn. I was baptized there as an infant, and I have been aware of my baptism all my life. Over the years, I haven't given much thought about it, so in many ways, I have taken my baptism for granted. And then when our children were baptized, Suzanne and I had to acknowledge our understanding of baptism and our responsibility as sponsors to our children. When I was in seminary and undergoing the process of ordination, I had to articulate my belief regarding baptism and address the many perspectives that Christianity has about it. But what I haven't had to do my entire life is think about my life as someone who wasn't baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For this, I am grateful to my parents who sponsored my baptism as an infant. Now, I'm not here today to talk about the doctrine of baptism, outlining the differences of infant and believer's baptism, or if the amount of water used determines the effectiveness of one's baptism. But for the record, the United Methodist Church offers baptism to all ages, and any amount of water sprinkled, poured, or dunked represents God's grace fully. And I would say we also recognize one baptism, that all Christian baptism is something that is accepted through the grace of God. After all, it is God's grace that is at work. And it is God who makes covenant with us in our baptisms. However, regarding this covenant we have with God through baptism, instead of thinking about what I wouldn't have if I wasn't baptized, I do want to talk about what is affirmed for those who are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, if there are any here or listening online who are not baptized, I encourage you to receive these affirmations of baptism as an invitation from the Lord Jesus to consider the fullness of what He offers by His grace in the baptismal covenant. Now, modern Christianity has emphasized the transaction of baptism more so than the covenant life that we have through baptism. I believe this has narrowed our view of our baptisms. Baptism is not just a sacrament or a ritual that happens one day in our life. It is an eternal covenant made with an eternal God who is eternally faithful. So on this baptism of the Lord Sunday, we are turning to Luke's gospel to highlight what is affirmed in our baptisms as we consider what is revealed in Luke's description of what occurred before, during, and after Jesus' baptism. Now, leading up to today's passage, Luke briefly shared about John the Baptist's preaching and ministry of a baptism of repentance and forgiveness as he called for all who would listen to return to a life aligned with God. Crowds of people came to listen and were moved to accept John's baptism, making a commitment to live their life according to God's ways. That's what Jesus walked into when He approached the crowd surrounding John the Baptist. Why were so many drawn to John's ministry? Well, Luke described. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So there are a couple of affirmations here to consider. First, I want to draw our attention to the crowd. They were waiting and wondering as they were on the lookout for the Messiah. The Hebrew word Messiah and the Greek word Christ both mean the Anointed One. They were expecting the Anointed One of God who would save them. They were looking for a Savior. However, not everyone agreed on who or what they were looking for and expecting from their Savior. Many were focused on being saved as a nation from their political rivals. Others, like John the Baptist, were looking for someone who would restore their people's relationship with God. Their minds were all over the place. So as Luke described, they were depending on their hearts to confirm who God's Anointed One is. Friends, when we come to the waters of baptism, We or our sponsors have already accepted in our minds that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And in the covenant of baptism, we are affirmed in our hearts of the identity of our Savior. Our hearts don't have to wonder anymore. Unless our minds waver and we close our hearts to the Lord, the grace of Jesus Christ continues to affirm all hearts that are open to Him. We can turn away from the Lord, but the Lord Jesus Christ never leaves us. This is why it is important for sponsors of infants and children who are baptized to nurture their minds and encourage them to open their hearts to Jesus so they can take ownership of their own faith through confirmation as a youth, perhaps, or through an affirmation and profession of faith later as an adult. Having clarity of faith that is affirmed in our minds and hearts is life-giving. We are to hold on to what we have through Jesus Christ, the one who saves. Second, John knew he wasn't the anointed one. And he also knew that the baptism and ritual cleansing he offered paled in comparison to the baptism offered by the one with all authority and power. John provided only a symbolic cleansing of sins, but the anointed one provides the means and the power not only for our forgiveness, but also for holiness. We are affirmed of our salvation by the Holy Spirit. See, in our baptisms, we are given the Holy Spirit to complete the work of grace in us. It is through the purifying fire of the Spirit that our sinful nature is transformed into the likeness of Christ. See, the Spirit convicts, corrects, and directs us towards holiness. We must submit our minds and our hearts to the Holy Spirit's authority and power to transform us. It is the Lord's work. We are all to trust Him with that work. In Luke's description, John the Baptist also noted this about the Christ. He said, His winnowing fork is in His hand to clear His threshing floor and to gather the wheat into His barn, but He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I mentioned briefly that I never had to think about what it would be like to be baptized. But if I wasn't baptized, I can see how this statement from John the Baptist would be a concern. We would have to admit the thought of being associated with the chaff isn't appealing. However, the focus of John's message isn't the chaff at all. It's about the wheat. The Christ, like the farmer, is concerned about gathering in the harvest. Jesus will gather all who trust in Him as their Savior and Lord. His desire is for all people to be among the harvest. But He knows that all will open their hearts to Him. However, those who have entered the covenant of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, we are affirmed we will be reconciled with God for all eternity. Celebrate the assurance of being among the Lord's harvest. There's one more affirmation of baptism I want to share. And that became clear after Jesus came through the waters of baptism. Luke shared it this way. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as He was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on Him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Notice Luke's description of Jesus' baptism is, well, missing. He just says, Jesus was among those who were baptized. He doesn't even say John did the baptizing. That is assumed. One commentary I was reading suggested, if Luke wasn't worried about the details of how Jesus was baptized, then why do Christians fight over how we are baptized? I thought that was a good question. Anyway, what was important for Luke to share was what Jesus experienced afterwards when He prayed, humbling Himself before the God He loves. God responded with a declaration of clarity for Jesus as He began His journey to the cross. calling him God's beloved Son and giving him the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus declared the same thing over us as we began our journey to eternity. When he taught us to pray to our Father which art in heaven. And he told us to go and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are also taught by John in his gospel of Jesus Christ, saying, yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. And the apostle Paul wrote to the Romans saying, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in the sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Friends, when we come out of the waters of baptism, and whenever we humble ourselves in prayer before the God we love, like Jesus, we are affirmed of our identity as beloved children of God. This truth fulfills our deepest core longing, which is belonging. Regardless of what our lives on earth experience, we always have our belonging as a child of God who loves us unconditionally and faithfully. To truly experience this belonging, though, we have to be vulnerable with the Lord in our prayer life, as we read the Scriptures, in our worship, in our routines, in our celebrations, and also in our grief and our suffering. Jesus is our example of one who always sought his Father in heaven in all aspects of his life. For us, it may feel weird or awkward at first, but from my own experience, it gets easier and actually becomes natural. In Christ, we are brothers and sisters with Jesus. We are children of God. So be affirmed today. Affirmed of our baptism in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can embrace the affirmation in our heart that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Celebrate our salvation is affirmed by the Holy Spirit that resides in us. Rejoice as those reconciled with God for all eternity and rest secure as beloved children of God. Now, if you haven't been baptized and you are considering accepting an eternal covenant with God through Jesus Christ, please reach out to me. And I would be happy to answer any questions to help you with your decision. And for those who have already entered this covenant of baptism, don't ever forget your baptism. Rather, live your life faithfully upholding the baptismal covenant and experience the affirmations of Christ's love every day. Amen. And now, friends, we have an opportunity to remember our baptisms today through a reaffirmation of the baptismal covenant. Your responses will be on the screens as we bless the water here that is on the front. We're going to have the baptismal as you exit, and I invite everybody who's baptized to come to the baptismal and touch the water, maybe put a cross on your forehead to remember your baptism. So let us begin our reaffirmation of baptism today. Sisters and brothers in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, God's Spirit has been poured out upon water. Water poured over and immersing us, water that flows freely for all who will receive it, water from the streams of God's saving power and justice. Water that brings hope to all who thirst for righteousness. Water that refreshes life, nurtures growth, and offers new birth. Today we come to the waters to renew our commitments in each other's presence, to Christ who has raised us, the Spirit who has birthed us, and the Creator who is making all things new. And so I ask you, will you turn away from the powers of sin and death? We renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of our sin. Will you let the Spirit use you as prophets to the powers that be? We accept the freedom and power God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. Will you proclaim the good news and live as disciples of Jesus Christ, His body on earth? We confess Jesus Christ as our Savior, put our whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as our Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. Will you be living witnesses to the gospel, individually and together, wherever you are and in all that you do? We will remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world. Will you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? We affirm and teach the faith of the whole church as we put our trust in God, the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, His only Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Spirit of the Lord is with us.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Almighty God, the life you birthed in us by baptism into Jesus Christ will never die. Your justice never fails. Your mercy is everlasting.
Your healing river flows.
Your Spirit flows where you will. We cannot stop you. But sometimes we try. We try to block the flow. We redirect the winds of the Spirit. Or we walk so far away from the life-giving stream that we do not hear its sound. And we forget its power. We parch ourselves.
We are dry and thirsty, O God.
Come, refresh us. Come upon us, Holy Spirit. Come upon these waters.
Come upon these waters.
Let these waters be to us drops of your mercy.
Let these waters remind us of your righteousness and justice.
Let these waters renew in us the resurrection power of Jesus.
Let these waters make us long for your coming reign.
Most holy God, Abba Father, Christ, Savior, Lord.
Glory to you.
Spirit of fire, Spirit over the water, Spirit of holiness, glory to you.
Glory to you.
Eternal God, one in three and three in one.
All glory is yours, now and forever. Amen.
At this time, like I said, we're going to have our closing hymn, and then as we exit, I'll be at the font to encourage you to remember your baptism and rejoice. So I encourage you all to come and again, touch the water, make the cross, or however you want to just touch the water, whatever it is for you to be affirmed today. So with that, please rise as we sing our final hymn, Come Down, O Love Divine.
Thank you.
Again, so as you exit, come to the font and remember your baptisms. And as you leave this building, go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.